Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Thanksgiving Football Preview Show right here on MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody, Salisbury, and the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, and by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. In this edition of our Thanksgiving Football Preview Show, John Squires from MSO Sports will join us. We'll talk some Thanksgiving football games this week, as well as some Thanksgiving memories. That's all coming up just ahead here on MSO News Sports. Just a note on our coverage on Thanksgiving Day, live video streaming of the Gloucester-Danvers game with Rick Moore, Paul Ingram, and our streamographer, Andrew Nicastro. Live radio coverage on Channel A, Lynn English, Lynn Classical, 10 o'clock kickoff from Manning Field and Lynn. And during that broadcast, listen for the updates on all the other North Shore games, including Marty Smith's reports on the Beverly-Salem game and John Squires on Marblehead-Swampscott. And Tim Kearns will be joining me for again this Thanksgiving Day from Manning Field and Lynn for our coverage of the Lynn Classical Lynn English game. We continue along. John Squires joining us here to talk some Thanksgiving football and other stuff. So, John, one game we haven't talked too much about is the Marblehead-Swampscott game. Now, on paper, it looks like a mismatch. You got Marblehead headed to the Super Bowl. You've got Swampscott, which is, you know, ended up having a tough season after what I considered one of the most brilliant games I saw all year was their win over Classical. That was a great football game by Swampscott, and that's the kind of game they need to play on Thanksgiving morning against Marblehead to stay in that game. But here you go, Marblehead-Swampscott this year. But, John, you've been around this game for years, and it's one of the classic matchups here on the North Shore.
Yeah, it really is, Billy. And, you know, I go way back in this. In fact, I used to be the MC for the old-timers dinner that we used to have over in Marblehead every year. Warren Swampscott, myself, and Essel Hayne, and all those people of Dick Farrell and all those people over there. But, yeah, it's going to be Swampscott kind of after that Classical game, the ship kind of started to go down a little bit. Now, it did resurrect a little bit in a couple times during the season, and they won last week up in Amesbury, a close game. But it's going to have to be a major, major upset for this. I was over the Marblehead game last week when the guys were over there, and I'll tell you, Marblehead has everything going. Not only are they a good football team, they've improved as the season's gone along. So they're very, very strong. So this is a huge mismatch on paper. But here again, we talk about Marblehead's, you know, Thanksgiving Day games, and there's been some great games over the years. You know, I think back...
I'm going to just stop you, but the rivalry does have a history of upsets. Big upsets.
Yes, it does. Go back to 1963. Swampscott came in undefeated with Ronnie Cochran. 62 might have been, but Ronnie Cochran and Swampscott came in 8-0. Marblehead was 3-5 in the famous Jake Healy game. He had 280 yards, and Swampscott went up 14-0 in the first quarter and lost 35-14 and got knocked out of not only winning the Northeastern Conference, they might have tied with Woburn, but they could have been state champs, and they lost. That was the first upset that I can remember. And then my sophomore year, 1966, Dick Geron's first year in Swampscott. Swampscott came in 7-1. They had just lost to an undefeated Newburyport team with Larry Russell. Swampscott was very, very highly favored, and Tootie Gahoon and Bobby Blood upset Swampscott 22-21, and that's the last loss Swampscott had before going on that famous run of 32 straight for 4 or 5 years. So there have been some great upsets over the years, so it's not impossible, but it's going to be a very, very high task for Swampscott to upset Marblehead.
Yeah, you have some great coaches, and Rudloff certainly in that category for Marblehead. Then you got Alex Kulovich for years in Marblehead, Bruce Jordan and others that in Marblehead, and then Stan Bondilevich in Swampscott, who you just mentioned, and of course Bill Bush.
And Noel Riebenacker was a coach of Marblehead, Stan was there. So, you've had some great coaches. And speaking of coaches, I want to give a shout-out to Dick Lynch. Yeah. Dick Lynch, who was probably the best student, teacher, coach that I've ever met in my lifetime. I hear that he listens to us every now and then, so I want to wish him a happy Thanksgiving and wish him best. He's in his 80s. He's doing great. He's a tremendous person, and him and his family, I want to wish them a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, obviously, great coach, great guy, great family. And here's my Dick Lynch story, John, is that my first game I ever did for WESX, I came down around this time of year, right after Thanksgiving, and it was a basketball game, and I don't know who was playing at Danvers High School, but Dick Lynch, the athletic director over at Danvers High School, I was there. So I show up with my bag of equipment and stuff, and
And he goes, "Well, you know, I'm not sure what he said exactly, but, you know, like, you could have let me know you were coming," and, you know, something like something along those lines. And I'm thinking, all right, I got it now. Okay, so from that point on, but he couldn't have been nicer, you know, and but we found what I needed to find there, and we were, and the game got on, and but it, you know, you never know what the procedures are when you jump into something brand new. But anyways, that was my first game that I ever did, a basketball game over at Danvers High School, with AD Dick Lynch.
You know, Dick Lynch, I mean, he coached three sports. He coached baseball, football, and basketball. And Dick Lynch could coach chess. I mean, he's just a great teacher coach. But his love was basketball. He loved basketball. And the great story about him is one of the great all-time feats, people talk about great Swampscott football teams, was him sidestepping Bondy, who, for us to win the state championship in basketball, for him, Stan would publicly say that, yeah, he supports all the programs, but he was a football guy. And for Dick Lynch to be his assistant and be way up and win a state championship like he would, he was not the easiest person to accept other people's glory, so to speak. So the great line was, Dick Lynch won the state championship despite all Bondy sabotaging throughout the season.
Yeah, that's it. That's amazing. Now, but speaking of Bondy, and tell me about your memories on Thanksgiving with Bondilevich and so on. And I go back to the point. I obviously wasn't around when he was at Swampscott the first time around, but the second, you know, when he came back or was at Fenwick, one of those times, I remember going to his house in Swampscott and talking with him. And you know, this guy cooked Thanksgiving dinner, you know, at the time, you know. And I said, what a great story. So I had this long interview with him on Thanksgiving and cooking Thanksgiving dinner. And then, you know, just an angle that most coaches that I knew, you know, most of the guys would not be in the kitchen. And so this is just another little twist that I, you know, have had found out about Bondilevich.
Well, you know, we talked about this before in the summer in August when we talked about the Swampscott Marblehead and the Swampscott history of football. It's a good thing you got out of there alive, because once you get into his house and you start talking about gardening or cooking, forget football. He's an expert, and I used to tell you how
I did say it was a long interview.
It was, but you know, thinking back I think back, Stan made everything major. I can think back my first time as a sophomore dressing for a Thanksgiving Day game, and the crowds were unbelievable then. It was a different time, different people, and a whole different atmosphere for high school football then. But the crowds were big. Everybody went to a high school football game, and I can remember going back 3 years in a row. I remember at Swampscott, that was the first loss that we had against Tootie Gahoon and Bobby Blood, 22-21, when Dick Jerome was a sophomore. But I can remember my senior year, and I can remember we went in and we had won 17-18 games straight. We had a great team. We were highly favored. We had Dick Jerome. We had many, many very, very good football players, Beatrice and David Karras and Phil Abrams and Kyle Kester and Andy Rose and Lloyd Benson. And we had a lot of all-stars on that team. Eight of us played, and nine of us played in the Aganis game, which is unusual at the time. But I can remember going in heavily favored, and we are up 6-0 at halftime against a 3-5 Marblehead team. And before the game, Stan was famous for his pregame talks, as we talked a little bit about, and he said nothing before the game, so we were all kind of disappointed. Well, he came in at halftime, and he gave us a speech to beat all speeches. He talked about, if my son could be half the man of any you are. We went out and scored 32 points in a 10-minute quarter against Marblehead and went on to win 40-0. He was a tremendous motivator, and everything you said, you believed. And, you know, most of the time, he was right.
Well, another guy, a little shout-out, too, maybe I'd like to shout-out to Fran York, who was a former coach with Stan on that coaching staff and went on to be a head coach himself, and both basketball. And so he's a blend between Dick and Stan, I think. And but I know he took a lot from Stan, you know, and I'm sure he must have taken a lot from Dick Lynch, too. But you know, had a great coaching career, and I think took that motivational piece from Stan.
Absolutely. You know, people don't realize, I was fortunate enough to play for Stan and to coach for Stan, and it's completely two different animals. He was real tough. You think he was tough on his players. He was real tough on his coaches. Highly demanding, expect a lot of loyalty. Loyalty always came first with Swampscott coaches, and that was very important. But Franny, I had the pleasure to work with Franny down at Manchester, and Franny modeled his program after Dick Lynch. When he went down to Manchester, they were in two or three Super Bowls down there. And Manchester, in those days, were just part of the – they were independent of the KPN League for football. Other sports they played. And they went to two. They won a Super Bowl. They had some big plays. They had a couple plays that went to Tennessee. They went – one went to B.C. on a full scholarship. I remember Billy – the Needham family, they were very instrumental down there. But he had everybody involved, just like Stan did, and he modeled his program in Manchester, just like Stan did in the Swampscott.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's funny now that you mention that. That you go back to that time, which would probably have been late '70s, early '80s, somewhere. Manchester was in a lot of Super Bowls. You remember that?
I do.
You know, and all those. It was
a big rivalry, if I'm not mistaken, with Nantucket, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
So they had they played two or three times. I think they beat them once, they lost to them once, and then they maybe lost another time. But it was a great rivalry, and it was a great program that he established down there. Here again, it was a model after the Swampscott program. And Franny's just a great person, let alone a great coach.
And it was and what happened in that town of Manchester, you know, Fran replicated that, I think. And we've talked so many times about how big a Saturday afternoon Swampscott football game was, and the town shuts down practically, and everyone would go to the football game. You know, they had that kind of energy going in Swampscott years later, I believe.
They did.
Manchester. On that.
They did. They really did. And everybody was involved, and it was good for the kids, and it was good for the town. And it put Manchester on the map for a while.
Yeah. And then they changed it to Manchester by the Sea, and that's a whole other story. And we won't go there, but that's but so far, you know, that's a new tradition yet to happen, the Manchester by the Sea football tradition. Well, John, any other thoughts on any of the other games happening here on the North Shore? I just really wanted to get your insight on the Marblehead Swampscott game.
Yeah, we got a couple really good ones. I think you're going to see some good games. I think St. Mary's Bishop Fenwick will be a good game. Salem Beverly, I'll talk about a shout out I want in 1 second there. Lynn Classical in English, I think, is going to be a beauty. I think that's going to be a real good game. And the shout out I want to give is to Dave Wilbur, head baseball coach at Beverly. This week he was put into the State Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame for 2017. He's a great coach, a great person. His freshman team, he's been coaching there. He stayed on with Andrew Morenci, who he had had earlier when Andrew played in Beverly. His Beverly freshman team went 8-1 this year. They had a real good program. He's got kids out. He's just a great coach, but I want to congratulate him on his election to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you talk about, he was he coached with Ken Perrone, right, over in Salem. He did retire, I believe, from the schools recently, but he still continued to coach, and well-deserved. Great coach and a great person, too.
Yeah, great. And him and I worked together over in Salem, and he was part of that team that struck against the famous strike with Kenny Perrone when Swampscott and Salem played over at Swampscott. They were both undefeated, and the coaches came out hand-in-hand and all got let go after the end of the season.
Yeah. Dave Wilbur was a part of that? Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that was one of the great coaching staffs, too. Well, that's a whole other story, too. All right, John, well, hopefully you have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you on Super Bowl Saturday.
Absolutely, Billy. Looking forward to it. And you and your family have a great Thanksgiving, too, and everybody out there.
John Squire is with us. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO News Sports.